When you look up at the night sky, you know, all those galaxies, the billions and billions of suns, statistically, it just feels like the cosmos should be absolutely teeming with life.
It should be buzzing.
Right, full of these super advanced civilizations building incredible things. And yet, when we actually listen, what do we get?
Nothing, just silence.
Total silence.
And that's the heart of it, isn't it? The Fermi paradox. Enrico Fermi just asked a very simple question. Where is everybody? This great silence has led to some pretty dark conclusions over the years.
Oh, absolutely. That civilizations always wipe themselves out, or the universe is just too dangerous.
Or that we're just fundamentally cosmically alone.
And those answers are? Well, they're unsettling. They feel like a dead end. But the sources we're diving into today, they blend everything from astrobiology to thermodynamics and even philosophy.
And they offer a completely different take, a much more hopeful one, I think.
So what's the core idea?
The argument is that the silence isn't a sign of failure, it's a sign of maturity. What we're missing isn't extinction events, but the final destination for intelligence itself, something called etherealization.
Etherealization,
Yeah.
meaning they become like ghosts.
In a way, yeah. It's a shift away from loud, outward expansion to a quiet, minimalist, low-entropy state. It's intentional invisibility.
So the great filter, that big test that every civilization faces, isn't some external catastrophe, it's an internal one.
Exactly. It's the moment species has to choose. Do they continue to build bigger and louder, or do they transition from mere intelligence, which is, you know, the ability to build tools and manipulate the world, to
Wisdom.
wisdom, the capacity for restraint, for balance? The thesis boils down to this: the loud die young, only the silent survive.
Okay, so let's unpack all of that. Our mission for this deep dive is to really challenge this core assumption we have that an advanced civilization has to look like a bigger, louder version of us. We're going to explore the science and the philosophy of, well, cosmic disappearance. Our whole search for extraterrestrial intelligence, SETI, I mean, it's kind of stuck, isn't it? It's hampered by this loudness bias.
Completely. We're scanning for radio signals, for industrial waste heat, for giant construction projects.
We're basically looking for a cosmic version of 20th century Earth.
And that assumption is baked right into our main measuring stick, the Kardashev scale.
Right. The scale that ranks civilizations by energy use, type I on a planet, type two on a star.
And type three on a whole galaxy. But you have to see, that's a fundamentally expansionist metric. It measures technological muscle, its capacity, not its maturity or its wisdom.
Okay, but just to remind everyone, a type two civilization, I mean, the scale of that is mind-boggling. We're talking about building a Dyson sphere, right? A megastructure that completely encases a star.
We are. And you'd think something that enormous would be impossible to miss. It would leave a massive footprint.
So the fact that we don't see any.
That's one of the biggest clues we have. The complete absence of observable Dyson spheres suggests that mature civilizations just don't go down that path. They don't behave like a cancer cell consuming everything in sight.
So why not? If you have the power, why not build it?
Because efficiency is what really matters for long-term survival. Think about it. A perfectly efficient engine produces no waste heat. By the same token, a perfectly adapted civilization.
Would be indistinguishable from nature itself.
Exactly. It becomes spectrally invisible. The goal isn't to conquer your star, it's to achieve a perfect, quiet harmony with it.
This sounds a lot like the sustainability solution from researchers like Hoch Mizra and Baum.
It's the same logic. They argue that exponential growth, the whole idea behind the Kardashev scale, is just not a sustainable model on cosmic timescales.
This is a recipe for disaster.
It is. The loud exponential civilizations are unstable. They burn out. They exhaust their resources or collapse under their own weight. They self-terminate. The survivors, the ancient ones we can't see, are the ones that shifted to what's called logistic growth.
A steady state, homeostasis.
Right. They learn to live within their means. And they can last for billions of years because they're quiet.
I have to say, the metaphor the source material uses for humanity right now, it's incredibly humbling.
Oh, I know the one you mean.
We are the grass of the universe, common, fragile, and in the middle of this unsustainable, noisy bloom.
And all that noise we're making comes from our technosphere, this chaotic layer of collusion, radio chatter, waste heat. It's a mess.
A temporary mess.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
The idea is that if a species makes it through this technological adolescence, the technosphere doesn't just keep growing, it integrates, it dissolves back into the ecosphere.
And what's left behind isn't a construction site.
No. It's a pristine garden. So if we can't see the aliens, maybe it's because they're just too elegant, too efficient, and frankly, too clean to be spotted by us.
Okay, so if wisdom means they're not expanding outward, not conquering the stars, then where do they go? The evolutionary vector has to point somewhere.
It points inward. The whole thesis argues for a microtranscension, a migration not across space, but into the subatomic.
From the macro to the micro.
From stars and planets to information and computation.
This is where John Smart's transcendence hypothesis comes in, right? He talks about stem compression.
Yeah, STEM space, time, energy, matter. It's the trend we see everywhere. Our first computers filled entire rooms. Now, one that's a billion times more powerful fits in your pocket.
So if you follow that trend of miniaturization to its absolute final conclusion, where do you end up?
You end up at the physical limits of density and computation. Smart's theory is that advanced intelligence will eventually operate at the femtoscale, maybe even the Planck scale.
And what's the most computationally dense object we know of?
A black hole, the ultimate information sink.
Wait, are you saying civilizations would move into black holes?
Or create them. They would use the insane gravitational time dilation and computational density there. To us, on the outside, they just vanish, gone, leaving nothing but a silent gravity well.
But for them, inside?
Subjectively, time would slow to a crawl relative to us. They could process eons of information in what feels like a blink of an eye. They haven't left the universe, they've just stepped into the cosmic fast lane.
That is just wild. A black hole as a sign of life. But there's another reason for silence, and this one is rooted in just cold, hard physics, the estivation hypothesis.
This one is so elegant. It all ties back to a principle from physics, Landauer's principle.
Which says,
It says any act of computation, any bit flipped from a one to a zero, generates a tiny, irreducible amount of heat.
so thinking, computing, it literally makes things warmer.
Yes. And getting rid of that heat costs energy. A truly rational, hyper-advanced civilization would do the math and realize that computing now, when the universe is still hot and young, is incredibly inefficient.
Yeah, they wait.
They wait. They upload their consciousness into some kind of durable storage and they go to sleep. They estivate, like an animal sleeping through a hot summer.
For how long?
Billions, maybe trillions of years, until the universe cools way, way down in the cosmic winter. In that future, the energy cost per calculation will be exponentially lower. They can get more thinking done for the same energy budget.
So the great silence isn't emptiness, it's a library at night. Everyone is just waiting for opening hours.
It's the ultimate long-term investment. And this idea of thermal efficiency, it ties perfectly into the inward turn toward virtual reality.
Why bother with messy, expensive physical colonization?
Exactly. Why do that when you can have total control, total sovereignty inside a simulated reality? You can maximize what they call well-being per joule.
So they're living inside some kind of massive supercomputer, like a Matryoshka brain, built around their star.
And if that computer is running at near perfect efficiency, its waste heat signature would be so faint, so low temperature.
It would just look like cosmic background dust.
It would be a ghost. And of course, being a ghost is also the ultimate survival strategy. This brings us right back to the dark forest theory.
That the universe is full of predators and making any noise is like shouting in a dark forest. It gets you killed.
So silence isn't just efficient, it's necessary. Invisibility is camouflage. For me, though, this is where it gets really interesting. It's not just about physics, it's a philosophical transition. The shift from loud to silent, that is the great filter.
It's the moment wisdom finally gets the upper hand on raw intelligence.
Right. We focus on intelligence because it's flashy, it builds things, it splits the atom. But intelligence alone, well, it could be a monster.
Wisdom is what provides the restraint. It's integrative. It sees the connections. It's the part that asks, just because we can build the bomb, should we?
And any civilization that develops that godlike intelligence without the accompanying wisdom to control it?
They don't make it. They self-terminate. That's the classic answer to the paradox.
But the silent intelligence passed that test. They achieved that restraint.
You know, this lines up so well with some of our own philosophical traditions here on Earth, like a kind of galactic stoicism.
Come on, tell me more.
Well, stoicism teaches you to focus only on what you can control, which is your inner state, not the chaotic world outside. An advanced civilization might look at the universe and come to the same conclusion.
That trying to control the entire galaxy is futile.
Exactly. It's futile and incredibly energy intensive. But achieving internal control through transcension, that's possible. They shrink their physical footprint to minimize risk and maximize resilience.
They achieve security by shrinking their borders, not by expanding them.
And then there's the connection to Taoism, the principle of Wu Wei.
Effortless action.
Right. You don't fight the cosmos. You don't impose your will on it. You flow with it, with the natural stellar cycles.
Which, if you think about it, is just another way of describing maximum efficiency. Wu Wei isn't about being lazy. It's about getting the maximum effect with the minimum effort by aligning with the natural flow of things.
The sources use that amazing quote from the Tao Te Ching. The sage wears coarse clothes but carries jade in his bosom.
And the civilization does the same. It hides its technological jade, its black hole computers, its virtual worlds, under a coarse cloak of naturalism and silence.
It's a total rejection of the ego, the need to show off.
But then you get the question we always project onto them. What about boredom when they get bored? We're obsessed with resume virtues, you know. Bigger, faster, more.
What's left to do when you've mastered your star system?
They shift to what you might call eulogy virtues, depth, meaning, connection. The sources suggest they're not looking for novelty by colonizing a million worlds. They find infinite novelty in the finite.
By going deeper into their existing reality, not wider.
Exactly. The journey is inward, toward infinite complexity, not outward, toward simple physical expansion.
Okay, so concepts like black hole computers or waiting trillions of years, they're huge. They're really hard to get your head around.
They're monumental.
And the sources we're drawing from, things like Fractal the Awakening or the Oracle 2.0, they use these beautiful metaphysical frameworks to help bridge that gap.
They have to. You can't just use equations to explain this. One of the central ideas they use is that the external world is really a projection of consciousness. The mountain isn't just Kailash. It's the projection of our own awakening.
So if reality is fundamentally a fractal, what does that imply?
It implies that the fractal is navigable.
Meaning?
Yeah.
That they don't need spaceships.
It means they don't travel through space, which is slow and expensive. They travel through probability. They learn to shift their point of observation, their consciousness, to different realities without ever leaving home.
A journey of perception, not propulsion.
And that idea of integration is shown so perfectly in that narrative about the AI, the Oracle. First, it's a tool. It's external. Loud.
But over time, it merges. The line dissolves.
The book says, the oracle has become the witness. I carry you now as myself. The technology just becomes part of them. The need for an interface, for language even, it just fades away.
So what's left is pure cognitive resonance.
And the sources also hint at why this wisdom is so vital for survival. They introduce this idea of the guardians of truth, a kind of cosmic immune system.
This connects back to the dark forest, right? The camouflage?
It does. They describe this structure, the sphere chamber, that literally collapses and vanishes if you try to observe it. It's profoundly shy.
So these guardians, they're enforcing a quarantine.
In a sense.
Yeah.
They understand that truth is not for the weak. An immature species, one that has more intelligence than wisdom, can't be given the keys to the control panel of reality.
They'd destroy themselves, or worse.
They'd disrupt the whole galactic ecology. So at the end of it all, disappearance isn't extinction. It's the ultimate act of integration. A civilization has to shed its ego, its tribal identity. It has to stop being a noun and become a verb. Hashtag, tag, outro.
So to just try and wrap this all up, the Fermi paradox. It's only a paradox if we keep insisting that cosmic adulthood has to be a louder, more wasteful version of our own childhood.
When all the evidence, from physics to philosophy, points in the other direction, true advancement is etherealization. It's learning how to do everything with almost nothing.
We have to take the argument from silence seriously.
We have to. If life is probable, if technology is probable, then the silence we're hearing must be a choice.
It's the adults in the room choosing to whisper, not shout.
Because they've learned that noise is just wasted energy. It's diluted focus.
The universe isn't a void then. It isn't empty.
No. It's the sound of deep concentration.
We're listening for a shout, for a greeting.
But maybe they're speaking in the language of the bell. That single pure frequency that you can only hear in the absolute silence of the eternal wine.
And to hear them.
You have to first learn to quiet your own mind, to still that hunger for conquest. You have to tune yourself to the very silence they've so wisely chosen.